As many of you have read and kind of seen out there, Apple has recently introduced the Apple Watch, and unlike a lot of other Apple products, there are a lot of variations in the types of watches that you can get. There are basically three models, and within those models, there are two different sizes. Fundamentally, the three models that you can get are the Apple Watch Sport, which is the entry-level watch, the Apple Watch, which is stainless steel construction, which is, I guess you would say, the middle of the road model, and then the Apple Watch Edition, which is made of gold, and it starts at about $10,000. For the most part, all the inner workings in terms of processors and sensors and batteries are similar, if not identical, with all three of these models. Now, in addition to those three models, each one also comes in two different sizes. The small one, which is a 38 millimeter, and the large one, which is just a little bit larger, at 42 millimeters. It's initially a lot of, you know, information to wade through, because you've got the model, the size, the color, and then in some cases choosing what type of band you want. Starting with the Apple Watch Sport, it basically just comes with one band, so you'll just have to choose the color of the band that you'd like to get with the Apple Watch Sport. The Apple Watch, the stainless steel one, you can choose among several different bands. The entry level Apple Watch Sport is about $350 plus tax. The larger Sport is closer to $400. The middle one is somewhere around $500, I think, depending on what band you get. The Edition is $10,000 plus. So I went with the Apple Watch Sport mainly because all of the internals are basically the same and the capabilities. And another reason was it's kind of a 1.0 initial product. They're going to have probably a new generation of it. So I figured I'd get the least expensive one because it'll probably come time to replace it within a year or two.
Because you can't update the watch you get, right? No.
You
get an expansion. Being just the strap, right?
With the Apple Watch Sport, it actually comes with two sizes of the, it's kind of a rubberized strap that comes in the box with it.
You can also buy additional bands to put on your Apple Sport.
As long as it's a 42 or the 38 millimeter,
yeah.
It doesn't matter, it's interchangeable throughout the whole all of it.
They've had some problems with people with tattoos where it doesn't properly register either the heartbeat, or it also does wrist detection. I woke up on the pre-order date. I didn't actually set an alarm, but I woke up at about 10 past 3 a.m. and I had missed at that point the Friday the 24th delivery date. I placed an order shortly thereafter for the, again, the black 38 millimeter Apple Watch Sport, and I just got it last week in the middle of the week. I'd also recommend that you go to the Apple Viz website or subscribe to the podcast in an app like Downcast or Overcast, because David Woodbridge from Australia has produced a number of excellent tutorials. They all start with Apple Watch 101, and he really kind of guides you through common functions, gestures, and different things that you might do on the watch. And I think some of the tutorials are still coming out, but there's several of them up there, and I found them helpful. And I think if you're considering the watch, listening to that, he uses his watch, and you'll get kind of a good idea.
Mika, what made you decide to get the 38 as opposed to the 42?
I was actually very much undecided, and I'm still kind of on the fence as to which one would be better. Someone with some usable vision may prefer the 42 because it provides a little more screen real estate. I was also kind of thinking, what kind of gestures or input would one have to do on the watch? Like if you were typing, perhaps the 42 would be better, but I don't think you're really going to be typing per se using a QWERTY keyboard very much on it. I have heard that the 42 has a slightly better battery life, but I haven't yet run out of battery running it and using it fairly consistently all day.
Mika, are the gestures similar or the same as they are on the phone, or are there new gestures?
Some of them are similar, but there are also some new ones specific to the watch OS. The watch I have right now on my left wrist, and it's kind of a square device on the side of it that's closest to my hand, my fingers, in other words. There's a rectangular button, and that's called the Friends button. And if you push that once, it brings up a list of your favorited friends and your contacts. If you push it twice, it brings up your default Apple Pay card, so you can actually use this to make purchases at merchants that accept Apple Pay, and you don't have to get out your phone. You can just tap the watch up to the Apple Pay sensor. And then if you hold this button in, you get the option to power off the device or put it into something called reserve power, which only displays the time, but that mode is not voiceover accessible. Once you put it into the reserve power mode, voiceover shuts off also, and it just displays the time.
I understand the rotor doesn't work. Are the features still available somehow?
Not that I know, like clicking to headings and links and work, but you have such a small amount of information that you're dealing with that I don't know that you would really miss that. The other physical control on the watch is just above the Friends button, and it's a round knob, almost like what you would have to wind an old-fashioned watch, and they call it a digital crown, and you can either push it in or turn it left to right, and you can use that for various navigation purposes. There is a mode also for crown navigation where you can use turn the crown instead of clicking left and right voiceover.
For those who have a little bit of vision, that's pretty cool.
So to wake it up, you kind of just tap on it twice, and one screen is called the clock face, and you can access a bunch of different information on the clock face, and you can customize what is included in the clock face, and they call those complications, which are just things that you add to your clock face. They call it a complication, but you can... So it's telling me I have unread notifications.
93% battery power, 1406.
So the battery level and time.
Calendar, no events today.
You
no
can,
tap to view in calendar.
No events today. If there was something, it would tell me my next meeting.
61 degrees.
It tells you the temperature.
I was listening to a podcast where it actually read the position of the moon.
Moving, 18%. Exercising, 0%. Standing. 17%.
You don't want to tell us that.
So it's giving the statistics of how much I've moved today. If you're sitting down too long, a little notification will come up and it'll say stand up and just move around for 1 minute.
The great thing about this watch is if you can't see and you work out on a treadmill, it'll tell you how much you've walked, how many calories you've burned.
How fast your pulse is.
Yep, you can get your heartbeat.
Do that.
Yep.
There are other different types of things besides a treadmill too that you can have it on. Adjust more into the fitness, like cycling, walking.
So I'm hearing voiceover. Is it coming through the watch?
Yes.
But is it Bluetooth that it uses to connect to the phone?
Yes, and you can use a Bluetooth headset with it, which is, you know, I think, the only
accessible
way that you're going to get that voice.
How far can the iPhone be away?
20 to 30 feet.
And then if you're on Wi-Fi, it can also connect to a known Wi-Fi network.
How do you get it to tell you what time it is?
That's on the clock face.
What have you found it to be the most useful for?
There's been a lot of reviews written about who would get it or what the target audience might be, and the one that really stuck with me is that it's for somebody that's constantly checking their phone and interacting with different apps. So I was telling somebody before the meeting started that it's kind of like if you booked an Uber and you're kind of getting ready in the morning or something, or getting ready to go, you can check the ETA of the car without having to pull the phone out of your pocket and unlock it and check
and
it.
That's
and
especially helpful when you have a 6 Plus and you don't have pockets that fit it.
That view I was just showing you, the clock face, you know, having the calendar view and the activity all just in one central location. You could be doing something else on the phone and looking at information on the watch. The heartbeat is kind of cool.
You can send someone your heartbeat.
Actually getting the Apple Watch, it was kind of interesting. It came in quite a larger box than I thought it might come in. If you've downloaded the latest version of iOS, you may notice that you now have the Apple Watch app on your phone. So that's where you go to pair it. And you turn it on by pressing the Friends button, the long button. To pair it, you can either have it kind of scan a QR code using your phone camera, which worked for me. if you can't get that to line up, you can also choose which model of watch you have and then enter some type of identifying serial number into the iPhone. The code actually shows on the screen of the Apple Watch when you're in the pairing mode.
So you just now, Mikko,
were you able to get it into pairing mode using VoiceOver?
Yes.
So is it true that when you unbox it, you can just triple-click the crown and it'll turn on?
Exactly. It'll open up VoiceOver. You know, it's kind of like setting it. You choose English. Yeah. And then. So there are certain apps that developers have created an Apple Watch version for. When you open up the Watch app on the iPhone, it'll show you which apps you're able to install on the phone. The watch also has Notification Center, which is similar to what's on the iPhone, and then also something called Glances. It's perhaps somewhat similar to the Today View, but there are just different bits of information that you can use. And there's a two-finger gesture to flick down or flick up to enter either the Glances mode or the Notification Center. You're kind of either on the clock face, which is what we saw earlier that shows the time, and then the complications, which are various, the date or the weather or your next calendar invitation, and you can quickly scroll through those items. You might also be on a home screen, which is kind of similar to the iPhone, or you might be within an app itself, or you might be within notifications or glances. There's also a gesture sort of called force touch, where you kind of hold down on the screen and then it brings up a contextual menu. So it's another way of sort of invoking different types of controls that you might see in some apps. I'll wake this up again. I'll just kind of double tap the top of the glass, and let's see where we are.
Do you have a password set up on yours?
Yeah, and in fact, I think our company email requires the password because it actually made me set one up longer than 4 digits. So your corporate security policies might require that you have one. So we're back at what they call the clock face. The battery. I'm just flicking right. Oh, it warmed up.
You didn't type yes, so we didn't unlock it that step.
Because it's on my wrist.
Okay, so you only have to do it once when you put it on?
Yeah, so if you take it off, it's going to know that it's off your wrist, and then it's going to require the passcode.
And you actually have to type it in, there's no fingerprint thing?
Yep. That little beep you just heard, was it kind of going to sleep? Because I left it alone for a few seconds. I can show you perhaps the heartbeat, which might be interesting.
Does it sync the data from your health app on the iPhone?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you wear the watch and not have the iPhone and have it still acquire the data and then put it onto your iPhone afterwards?
It syncs it automatically.
So it'll store the data if you don't have the iPhone on?
What's that?
So it will retain data without the iPhone being connected?
Well, it'll hold it probably as long as it needs it. Usually they're both on.
So if I leave my phone in my house and I ring my watch, it will keep that data until I get home and sync it with my phone.
As far
you
as
need to have your phone with you.
I don't know because I've never been that far. But I don't know.
You have
know.
To have the iPhone with you.
I think I remember hearing that. There's a Bluetooth distance radius or something where if you go beyond that distance, it's not going to function.
Well, I understand that for actually doing things, but I wasn't sure whether it would store data in the meantime if you didn't have it.
I mean, a lot of the fitness trackers do hold on. I haven't tested that. I mean, a lot of these devices do hold on to data until they're able to connect again. It will probably keep track of your activity, but maybe not your heartbeat without the connection. I'm not sure. Once in a while, it kind of gets stuck. So that's a two-finger flick down is the Notification Center, and then it's a two-finger flick up for the glances.
So you can use this for travel, too.
Mm-hmm. I haven't tried that yet, but
maybe you haven't tried it with any of your airplane apps?
It does have Passbook, so I brought up a boarding pass, and it does show, like, the you know, the barcode. I'm anxious to try that.
Have you tried unlocking a hotel room with it?
Not yet, because there's so few hotels that have it. Okay, here we go. So now we're in the heartbeat glance, and... So 2 minutes ago, 61, and then... So now we can double tap. Measuring. I'm flicking left and right here. Now, another thing that it does is when you're getting some type of alert or notification, it'll give you haptic feedback, and that essentially it'll just kind of vibrate on your wrist. And I was kind of thinking that each app would have a more distinctive way of pulsating on your wrist, but they're all relatively, there might be a very subtle difference, but when you get the notification, like the little, they call it like a tap on the wrist, you don't necessarily know what it is until you check it. But it would be good if there were different types of taps to mean different things.
Is that the haptic qualities or whatever I heard about?
Yeah, that's the...
That's what that is.
It's like it's tapping you on the wrist.
I've been trying to discover what its value would be as a signaling device for deaf-blind people. I don't quite understand just what it does and how much value there is in that.
There was an article about how a deaf-blind person found it really helpful. I'll try to find it and send it to you.
I think I have it. I haven't read it yet. It was somebody with Usher syndrome.
So now the pulse went up to 74.
Do you have to wear that tight to your wrist in order for it to work? Is that something that I would not like?
Yes.
I mean, it can be somewhat loose, but I haven't worn a watch in so long that it doesn't feel bad, but it's kind of different.
Yeah. I can say I tried one on in the store, Jeffrey, and the sports band one was too loose on me, but it could be loose. I tried on a different band that was tighter, and it just... felt better, and it wasn't as clunky, like I didn't feel like it was going to fall off. So I think it's a personal choice, but it will work either way.
Was it more responsive when it was tight?
That's what they say it was.
It just has to do with your checking your pulse. I imagine it has to be tighter.
So it only comes with an expansion band, not a buckle type thing.
Well, the sport just has the rubberized band.
Can buy an additional band if you wanted to.
Yeah, there was a hard buckle, and then there was a, they called one of them a hard buckle, and the other buckle they called something else. But you can purchase those to put them on, or you can purchase different bands.
I had heard that possibly only the middle one, the Apple Watch, could take the different bands, but
no,
that might not be...
No, the sport one can too, according to the Apple Store in Boylston.
Okay, or to that one employee. I would look it up online, because they're just learning about it too, so I wouldn't take as gospel anything that they tell you.
I have a third interpretation, the way I was that the sport one would only come with that slimy sort of band, but you could put any other band on it.
I was just going to ask, there's no electronics in the band. You can take that thing to a jeweler's and buy a band.
No, you can't.
Well, not at the moment, but there's a Kickstarter project, and I forgot what they call it, but it's out there that will actually just snap on to the watch and let you put any off-the-shelf band on it. That's not the pipeline, too.
I think they're trying to make a band that will do like a pulse aux reader and all sorts of different readings that it might be able to take. If you want to see the different bands and the different watches, you can go to the Apple Store and they have them all and you can try it. They sort of make appointments. They call them try-on appointments, and you can either book it in advance or you can go there and just see if they can fit you in, which is what I did because I was there for something else.
You mentioned that this works with Bluetooth headset, which will also work directly with your iPhone. So if you have a Bluetooth headset, is it really that much advantage to have the watch in between the headset and the phone?
I haven't used the headset with it at all because, you know, I can use a headset on my iPhone. That's another thing that it has. From the watch, you can actually ping your iPhone.
Oh, kind of like the
Find My iPhone.
When do you think the entire iPhone is going to be transferred into the watch?
Not for a long time.